This message was recorded during the coronavirus lockdown in 2020 by Audacious Church Senior Pastor Glenn Barrett. Thank you for listening to this Audacious Church podcast.
Hey, Audacious Church, welcome to a new series that we're launching today, which is called Word to the Wise. Word to the Wise. We want to spend 3 Sundays online with you talking about wisdom. So today we're going to talk about wisdom. Next week, we're going to talk on how to be wise. And in the third part of the series, we're going to talk on how to make wise decisions. But let me start by asking you this. Have you ever been in a situation where you thought to yourself afterwards, what was I thinking? I remember probably one of the first times I felt that was many years ago at Audacious Conference and did a bungee jump from the bungee crane. Now, they reckon that bungee crane was 20 stories high. And all I know is this, is that after doing the bungee jump, the adrenaline was coursing through my veins and my body was shaking. I remember thinking to myself, what on earth was I doing, thinking that doing a bungee jump was a good idea? Where are my brains? Now, I'm sure that you have in your life also done something where in hindsight, looking back, you thought I was crazy to be doing that. There's a funny moment, well, not so funny, a crazy moment in the New Testament where Herodias dances for the king. And the king says, if you dance for me, I will give you anything you want up to half of my kingdom. And yet Herodias's mum convinces her to ask for John the Baptist's head on a plate. Now, I wonder what Herodias was thinking that night, having received the head of John the Baptist. I wonder if she too thought, what was I thinking? I could have had up to half the kingdom, and yet my mum convinced me to do something crazy like this. Wisdom. What does wisdom look like? I mean, if God was to speak to you and to say, I'll give you anything you want, what would you ask for? In the Bible, in 2 Chronicles, we have a moment where God asks that very question to King Solomon. Let me read it to you from 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, chapter 1, verse 7 to 10. That night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask whatever you want me to give you. This is God asking Solomon, ask whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered God, you have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. And here's the key part. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? I mean, what an amazing request by Solomon. God says, ask me anything. He says, give me wisdom. I mean, I wonder how long wisdom took for Solomon to gain. I wonder, did it happen in a moment? Did it happen over a period of time? We don't really know, but we do know this, that wisdom and knowledge was the key to Solomon getting everything else. What else? Well, let me read on. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. God said to Solomon, since this, your pursuit of wisdom and knowledge, is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people, over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given you. And, God says, I will also give you wealth, possessions, and honor, such as no king who was ever before you ever had, and none after you will ever have. Solomon asked for wisdom. I think, wouldn't it be brilliant if through this season of coronavirus, maybe our prayer, one of our great prayers, can be, God, give us wisdom. My prayer is that God would give you wisdom. But you know, in the pursuit of wisdom, in the pursuit of knowledge, They say that there are three ways to learn: the easy way, the hard way, and the tragic way. The easy way is when you learn from other people's mistakes. The hard way is when you learn from your own mistakes. But the tragic way is when you don't learn from either. Now listen, I've heard many people say things like, "Why does this keep happening to me?" as a negative thing. And maybe the reason the same thing keeps happening to us is because we're not learning. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost you everything, gain wisdom." So let me tell you two things about wisdom before we pray. The first thing I want you to get a hold of today in this series, Word to the Wise, is that wisdom is a journey. I remember when my son was very little, one of the things that my son has always had is really long eyelashes. And every now and again, his long eyelashes would get caught in his eyes. And I remember him one day being very young and very cute saying, "I don't want eyelashes anymore." And the reality is this, he's a little boy who's on a journey. And of course, he would look a little bit different if he had no eyelashes. I remember my daughter one day, she was very, very small. And the health worker came to the house just to check up on our daughter and started to ask her a few questions about her development and wanted to sit with us to see how she was developing. And, you know, the health worker asked my daughter to pick up the pink cow, And there were all these toys on the floor. And yeah, my daughter was picking up all sorts of things. And the health worker kind of sat and said, "Well, I think your daughter should really know by now how to distinguish between colors, pink, and to know what the cow would look like, to pick up the pink cow." And really, in some senses, felt like she was bringing a little bit of a rebuke to the way my daughter had been developing. And she was only very small. And it was almost as though my daughter in that moment knew what that health worker was saying. And in that moment, counted from 1 to 20 and then sang in perfect time and perfect pitch, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star," to which the health worker was surprised at her ability to count at such an early age and being able to sing so beautifully. I think the lesson is this, is that wisdom is a journey. And the reality is this, is that you never arrive at a particular destination really by accident. You may be lost and not plan to be where you are, but a series of decisions in life took you to where you are right now. And I think it's so important for us to realize that wisdom is not just one good choice, but it's a series of good choices that we need to make again and again. It's good to ask yourself the question, what series of good decisions have I made in my life and where has it taken me? But also there may be another area of your life where you made a series of bad decisions. And again, the end result of those series of bad decisions took you to a negative place. Wisdom is a journey. The Bible says this in Psalm chapter 1. It says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night." Now in this psalm, there are two people on a journey. And the journey is evident by these three phrases: walking, standing, and sitting. The wise man and the foolish man walks, stands, and sits. So whether you are a foolish person or a wise person is determined by the decisions that you are consecutively making on the journey that you find yourself on. Wisdom, friend, is a journey. To get at a place of being wise is the result of a series of good decisions that are made. And we will cover that in 2 weeks' time. How do you make good decisions? But in the same way wisdom is a journey, I also want you to see today that sin is also a journey. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 15. Now, I want you to watch sin as a journey here. It says here, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Now, watch this journey. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. In the same way wisdom is a journey, I want you to see today that sin is a journey as well. That we don't just sin. The Bible says we desire it, it's conceived, it gives birth to death. So friend, wisdom is a journey. And the Bible says, going back to Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, it says, we should meditate on it day and night. In other words, this is a journey. And let's face it, over the recent weeks and months of this coronavirus really affecting our nation, the reason we're doing church online is because it has affected our nation in a way that we could really not have foreseen. The reality is this, is that for us, we're learning wisdom is a journey. And we're on a journey together in this. The second thing that I want you to see here about wisdom is that wisdom is available. So for you right now, your situation, wisdom is available to you. I remember over 20 years ago or so when I was in Bible college, we'd driven from our Bible school about 1,000 kilometers on the Friday to go and speak at a youth event and run a youth program in a church on the Friday night. Before we did the youth program, we went to the various homes that we were staying in, and we only had really a few moments to drop off our bags in each of the various homes, the families that we were staying in. And then we went to the youth program. We ran the youth program, and afterwards we went out and had some food, and so it was a pretty late night. After having food and this late night event, I was dropping off my Fijian friend. His name was Johnny. And we went into the cul-de-sac where the house was that he was staying in. Now, bear in mind, he'd only seen the house briefly before the event started that night. So as we were driving up this cul-de-sac, I said, which house are you staying in, Johnny? He said, I can't remember. I said, well, let's phone the people you're staying with. They said we could phone. He says, no, it'll be fine. He didn't want to wake them just in case they'd gone to bed. He did say this, though. He said, out of the two-car garage that they had, he said, the gentleman said he would leave the second roller door open. And he said, and I think that's the house over there. He said, if the second roller door opens, that will be the house that I'm meant to be in. So I pulled up outside this house. He said goodbye to me. He walked across the driveway up to the second roller door for the garage. He lifted the roller door, and of course it moved. So he turned, he waved to me. I waved to him, and he goes into the house and pulls the roller shutter down. I go up to the end of the cul-de-sac. I do my U-turn. And as I'm driving out of the street, I notice in my rearview mirror in the van that I'm driving, my friend Johnny is running up the street behind me and shouting to get my attention. And meanwhile, about 15 paces behind him, there's a gentleman running with a cricket bat to try and hit him. It turns out that the house Johnny went into was not the house in which he was staying. He'd got into the house, he was walking up the corridor of the hallway, at which point the owner of the house opened the bedroom door, said, who are you? Johnny got freaked out, and the owner of the house thought he was being robbed, and so chased him out of the house. Now, the thing about this story is this, is that wisdom was available to us, in that we could have just simply picked up the phone and said, sorry, we forgot which house number you were in. But because we didn't use the wisdom that was available to us, my friend Johnny ended up in this precarious situation, accused of robbing the house. Now, it's a great story 20 years later, but in the day, in the moment, it was pretty harrowing for my friend. And I think that for each and every one of us, it's a great illustration to let us know that wisdom is available. Now, watch what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, 2 to 3. It says this, wisdom stands on top of the high hill, beside the way where paths meet. She, that's wisdom, cries out by the gates at the entry points of the city, at the entrance of the doors. Now let's look at that, those two verses, and see where wisdom is available to us. Firstly, it says wisdom is available on the high hill. In other words, whether you're in a valley, you're climbing, it's saying wisdom is available to you. The Bible says here, wisdom is available where paths meet. In other words, in the major crossroads in life, wisdom is available. It says here that wisdom is available in the entry points to the city. In other words, in major moments of your life, wisdom is available. It goes on and says, wisdom is available in the entrance to the doors. In other words, in your home. Wisdom is available. It's there, but it's a choice whether we listen to that wisdom or we ignore it. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but it only leads to destruction. Proverbs 15, 24. The way of the wise winds upwards for the wise. Now let me jump into another passage in terms of wisdom being available for us today. And that's found in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Out in the open, in the street, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. And I want you to see here in this passage where wisdom is available. Firstly, it says wisdom is available out in the open. In other words, wisdom is streetwise. Rather than being gullible and naive, wisdom is streetwise. It says here that wisdom is in the public squares. In other words, wisdom is available for you in places of business, in trade, where deals are made. Wisdom is there in the workplace for you. It says here that wisdom is available on top of the wall. The top of the wall is where speeches were made to the whole city. City impact, if you like. Wisdom is available for you for city impact. It goes on and says, wisdom is available in the city gate. The city gate was the place of decision making. The city gate was a place of entry. It was an entry point for resources and for wealth. In all of these places and spaces, the Bible is saying wisdom is available. And I think, church, it's so important to realize that you don't have to go through this season. You don't have to walk through life with the current level of wisdom and knowledge you have, because more wisdom is available. And as we said earlier, the Bible says this in Proverbs 4:7. It says, wisdom is principal thing, therefore get wisdom, though it cost you everything. Remember the three ways there are to learn: the easy way, the hard way, and the tragic way. And so in understanding that wisdom is available, there should be no reason why any of us stop in our search and our journey of gaining wisdom. The Bible says in James 1 verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom right now, you should ask God. I should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And I love that. I love the fact that God never says to any of us, you know what? You got yourself into this mess. Now you get yourself out of this mess. God doesn't do that. Even when we end up in a mess, even when we end up in a situation where a series of bad decisions on this journey have led us to a place where we can honestly say, like the story of the prodigal son, he ended up in the pigsty. It was my fault. The Bible says we should still, even then, ask God for wisdom, because he won't shake his finger. He won't admonish us. The Bible says he will give wisdom. Wisdom is available. Let me say it again. Wisdom is available. So it is both a journey and it is available. When the Leaning Tower of Pisa was built, it's over 800 years old. When it was built, it was never known as the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It was simply known as the Tower of Pisa. Pisa is a word that literally means marshy land, marshy land. And the facts today are this, is that the tower is 179 feet tall. It moves 1/20th of an inch a year, and it is now 17 feet out of plumb. The thing is this about the Leaning Tower of Pisa, or the Tower of Pisa, was it was built in marshy land and the foundation is only 10 feet deep. Now listen, you don't need to be a builder to know the problem of building in marsh, a tower that's 179 feet tall and only going 10 feet down in foundations. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 24 about this very thing, verses 3 to 4. By wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Church, I want you to know that when you build your home, when you build your house out of wisdom, then you are building your house in a good foundation, with a good foundation. But when you build your house not out of wisdom, then you are filling your house with bitterness and neglect and disappointment. But when wisdom builds your house, the Bible says, you're filling your house with rare and beautiful treasures. I mean, why keep up with the Joneses when you can fill your house with something that's rare? And you know this, the rarer it is, the more precious, the more expensive it is. And that's why the Bible calls it treasures. God wants to give your house this day something rare. He wants to give your house in 2020 peace. He wants to give your house this year a sense of purpose. In the midst of a storm, God wants you to know what it is to be calm on the inside. I believe that in this coronavirus season that we are in, when you build your house on the wisdom of God's word, He can put a rarity in you that causes other people to say, I don't know what you've got, but I need in my life what you have in yours. We're all in the same boat. I need to build my house on wisdom, and you do too. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, 26 to 27, it says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Now here's a question for you. Why is it that some people can face storms and still stand strong? That time and time again, as the storms crash in around their lives, they're still standing. And yet there are other people who we know that in every storm, it feels like their life is falling apart again and again. It's because the Bible says here, wisdom builds a strong house. And I want you to know right now that you can have a strong marriage, you can have strong family, you can have strong finances, you can have a strong sense of God at work in you. Why? Because wisdom builds a very strong house. Next week, we're going to look at how to be wise. But let me finish with this passage of scripture from Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. And Audacious Church, Sophie and I are in that boat. We've never stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. That's our prayer for you today as you commit to building a strong house built in the foundations, with the foundations of wisdom. Hey, listen, maybe you're watching this broadcast right now and you don't know Jesus. You don't know what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And yet you're on a journey that's brought you to this point, and you know deep within that you need a relationship with God. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, that God has set eternity in our hearts. In other words, there's a little part of you right now reaching out to the God of heaven and earth, the God who has a plan and a purpose for your life. And you're at that point of saying, you know what? I know I need God in my life. Then I want to pray this prayer, and I want you to agree with this prayer with me right now. You can either pray it out loud or just pray it quietly to yourself. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for this moment. I'm sorry I've lived my life without you. Today I acknowledge my need of you. I ask you to be my God. I ask you to be my Lord. Help me to live for you as I choose right now to make you the center of my life. I still have questions, but I know I need you. Thank you for hearing this prayer. Thank you that you are my God and I am your child. Help me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You've been listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com, or join one of our live stream services, 10 a.m., 12 p.m., and 5:30 p.m. every Sunday.